Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
I'm Jack Smith.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
What a week, man. Week four in the books. A lot of storylines that came up out of this week. I'm really excited to discuss it. So we have our week four takeaways, basically our reaction to what happened on Sunday. But man, if you like this video, make sure to smash that like button and subscribe to us if you enjoy. We got more content coming on the way, and we want to thank you guys for the support. So let's get right into it. I see the first point on this list. I got the doc pulled up.
Give me my time on it.
And
Anish
wants his time, so I'm going to give him his time because he has a lot of stuff to get off his chest. So the first point here, Carson Wentz is still a franchise quarterback. Anish, take it away.
Man, oh my God. I got to say it. Oh, walk it to him. He is back, baby. Come on. I don't want to hear it from this guy, this dude, Jack. Winless Wentz? No, he is winless no more. And last time I checked, I don't care about the competition. He is atop his division right now. So I don't care. I don't care that the other three teams are absolute dumpster fire garbage. I don't care.
And The Eagles aren't far above.
The Eagles aren't good either. But hey, 1-2-1, he's winning his division. And do you want to talk about who he had? Who the hell did he have? What the? Travis Fulgham, a sixth-round pick from Old Dominion. Colin Cowherd literally didn't even know that was a football pro. Hell, I didn't even know that was a school, okay? Literally, Travis Fulgham, okay? And that was one of the best passes I've seen all year, and no bias attached to it. That was a perfect pass. Literally, think about it. I don't know if you watched it. The guy's looking at the lights, right? And it just drops in his hands. That was a perfect. And then the play where he rolls out to the pocket. It's a roughing the passer, and he perfect pass, literally falling off the sideline. Here's what I'll say. He has played like absolutely – he played so bad, objectively bad, the first 3 weeks. And I'm first to say I'm objective with quarterbacks. You know this. I will tell you. I will give credit when it's due, and I'll also take it away. Against the Washington football team, you're up 17-0. You've got to finish it. I don't care if your offensive line literally breaks down and forgets how to play football. If you're up 17-0 against a team like that, you got to finish it. Rams, you're coming back 16-21. It wasn't the best. It wasn't a terrible read, but again, I mean, why throw a double coverage into the end zone like that? You lose to the Rams, okay. And against the Bengals, I don't give him blame for that one because he did rally his team and scored a touchdown and risked his body for it. And if it wasn't for two stupid penalties, they probably would be 2-2 right now. But it is what it is. On the road in primetime in a game that had three times the amount of viewers for the NBA Finals, that's pretty funny. But yeah, in a game where everyone was watching against the Niners, a Super Bowl team last year, on the road, he made the plays necessary to win. And the question basically is, and the takeaway is he still a franchise quarterback? Hell yes. I pound my fist on the table. He is a franchise quarterback. I still think he's got potential. I still think he's great in my eyes. And he's winless Wentz no more. He is walk it to him Wentz. He is atop his division. And the Eagles, I don't know how they did this. But this man pulled it off. And take it away. One more thing. Jack, again, you know, hates on a guy. Was wrong for clowning me. Did it again, right? Sam Darnold, you know, because apparently he has no help either. Did you just – the number 48, that running back, should be cut. Dude ran a jet sweep and ran 12 yards backward. What are you doing? And then Jalen Hurts takes one snap and literally almost costs the game by fumbling it. I feel so bad for what he has to work with. Derek Barnett on IR. 7 O-linemen injured, okay? His top 3 receivers, including their first-round draft pick, are either on IR or injured. He had nobody, and he pulled it off. That is a difference between a guy who's a good quarterback and a guy who is stupid and gets mono. That is the clear difference. One guy is 0-4, can't beat a team with Brett Ripien, and another guy beats the San Francisco 49ers on the road in primetime. Take it away. Carson Wentz, walk it to him, Wentz, is leading his division.
Yeah, you say you're objective with quarterbacks. Calling him winless Wentz after not having a win is also objective because it was a statistical fact he didn't have a win yet. And you can get on me for the fact that I said that win, the first win, would not come this week, but you said that too. So, I mean, I don't know what problem you have with
it. Not in my pick'em. I did have a $5 bet on it, and I won it.
Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about our picks right here. You picked the Niners, so I don't want to hear it. They're 1-2-1. They've played the only good team they've played, they've beaten, which is kind of funny in my opinion. I mean, yeah, the Rams are good. The Rams are good, but look, Wentz lost in that game. And so it's 1 week. on paper game not super impressive from Wentz. Yes, that throw at the end.
What? On paper? Mean, what do you mean? Rushing touchdown, a perfect pass? I thought it was great.
See, that pass, every NFL quarterback should be able to make the pass.
No, I mean, way. Nah.
It was a streak down the sideline where the guy had a step or two on the quarter.
Dante, not really. I mean, I know Johnson got burnt there, but I thought that was a hard pass to make. Considering his pocket collapsed, right? Look back on the play. I think it was Eric Armstead who was literally inches away from slapping his hand down. I thought it was a good play. I thought it was a perfect throw.
The one on the run, I'll give you. That was ridiculous.
And also, here's the thing. And another thing about that game, too, he prevented many plays from going negative. I don't know if you watched the game, but there were times, Freaker, I know you did, the pocket completely collapsed, right? There were times where he was running for his goddamn life and he had to flip it hella far off.
That O-line was terrible.
It was so bad. And now people see it. What I've been trying to tell people, because once you watch the games, you'll see. So yes, Carson Wentz has objectively had the worst quarterback rating, the worst passer rating. You know, I think he has as many interceptions as he's had in the entire year, the last 3 years. So yes, he's played objectively bad, but now you're at least seeing what he's had to work with. And same thing people are seeing with Sam Darnold in primetime, except one guy got mono and couldn't beat a team with a third string quarterback.
When he got hurt and his defense allowed, what was it like? 39? I don't remember because, you know, I want to forget about the game so badly, but no, I've been high on Wentz. Like, you can clown on me for clowning on you. Like, I don't care. But I've been high on Wentz. I said they were going to win the division, and I've been high on Wentz all offseason. So it's great to see. I'm glad that he's proving, and their takeaway is he's still a franchise quarterback.
Can I hear you say walk into him, Wentz, please?
No, Wentz has a win, so he's not winless Wentz anymore.
Don't worry. If he wins this division, I want to hear it from you.
I mean, the only reason I clown on him is because you pick him for MVP, which, he's still not.
Took a gamble, but – well, we'll get to another guy I picked as a sleeper MVP later.
My God, you cannot say this every week.
I do say it every week.
Every week. But yes, Carson Wentz.
But he's undefeated, the guy we're going to talk about.
So. Carson Wentz, still a franchise quarterback. I was high on him too. I don't want to hear it. Shrikar, go.
Okay. As a Niner fan, that was pretty rough.
Also, thank you, Carson Wentz. At least you beat the Niners of all teams. No one likes the Niners.
Jack the Niners hater is back. Yeah. Oh, my God. But Mullins, there are no words. There are no words to describe how much I want Jimmy G back, bro.
Niner fans literally thought
all the Mullins Niner fans that wanted Nick Mullins to start over Jimmy G.
Shout out to Luca.
You are dead wrong. Luca said that, right?
Uh-huh.
Luca, if you're watching this, you're dead wrong, bro. And the Niners still have a shot.
Quarterback controversy brewing in San Francisco?
Here's the thing. There are guys like Jack who didn't have Jimmy G in their top 16. Here's my thing. If he wins, he wins. Simple as that.
I'll say this. You can put him anywhere between 12 through 16, and I'd be okay with it. Right now, I have him at like 14. I think he's just inside top 15. But, I mean, the Eagles played a great game, so hats off to them. Carson Wentz especially. Way to get back on track. So I'll give props when props are due. But, I mean, just looking at the division as a whole, as we get into our next talking point, dude, someone needs to tell the Cowboys that they're allowed to play defense. I've seen every NFC East team, and I'll just say this. No one has been more disappointing than the Cowboys. You know, I thought they would actually be a contender. I thought that they could potentially win this division.
Yeah, these two had them in the playoffs.
They've allowed 126 points over 3 weeks, and they've surrendered 36.5 points per game. I'm sorry, but that's not a scheme thing. That's not all on Mike Nolan. Their secondary is just atrocious. And I know they've had their share of injuries. Of course, Gerald McCoy goes down for the season. Leighton Vander Esch is out for some time. Sean Lee, he's always.
What about Everson Griffin? I haven't seen the Is he even playing? I'm serious.
I haven't watched the Cowboys game.
I literally didn't hear the announcer say his name once.
And Dak has thrown for 450 yards in each of the past three games, and they're still 1-2. And they had to pull off a miracle comeback against Atlanta.
Yeah, their one win is because of incompetency from Atlanta. I mean, literally. They should be 0-4.
But here's the thing. There is good news for the Cowboys because they play the Giants and the Cardinals up next, and then you have road games against the football team and the Eagles. So I think at a minimum, Dallas has got to be favored in probably three of those. So I think the other just the good news is the rest of the division, really. New York, they're 0-4. Daniel Jones is literally a walking turnover. Dwayne Haskins, you know,
I think he should be pulled.
He has a lack of weapons outside of McLaurin. He doesn't have anything next to him. But look, he's still on the hot seat. He's been playing trash. And really, then there's Philly. We've talked about Philly. And I think this kind of resembles the 2010 NFC West, where literally the Seahawks went 7-9, won the division. That was the Beastquake year. Philly or Dallas is going to get 7 wins, and they're going to win this division and get a playoff spot. And that kind of irks me quite a bit. But I won't go into that. I think just all offseason, we were told Mike McCarthy replacing Jason Garrett would make such a big difference. It really hasn't. The Cowboys.
Quick note, Cowboys have never started 1-3 under Jason Garrett.
Yep. I saw that on Instagram. But look, they just look undisciplined. When it comes to situational football, they're just confused. And I think Mike McCarthy's play calling has been really iffy. It's just maybe McCarthy figures things out because, to be fair, he had no OTAs, no minicamp, no preseason. But so did the rest of the NFL. So, I mean, and other teams with far less talent than he has have fared far better. So I think it's just the defense for the Cowboys. The offense has done their job, but, you know, maybe the defense will show up sometime from here on out.
But yeah, the new reality in the NFL is everybody wants an offensive-minded head coach. I think Dallas is one of the few teams that might benefit from having a defensive-minded head coach. Look what they have on offense. They're going to figure it out. I mean, Dak threw for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. And really, if you don't allow 49 points, I believe it was, you're going to win most football games if you're them. And so they might be a team that doesn't need an offensive guru at head coach because they're going to figure it out. You need, you know, a competent offensive coordinator who can call plays sometimes and a defensive-minded head coach to fix whatever the hell that is in Dallas. 49 points to the Browns? To the Browns okay, when Chubb, you didn't have, this when was Chubb a got hurt in the game? 49 points.
This did not seem like a Browns.
Yeah, so, you know, can I?
No, okay. I'm not giving you this game. Dallas sucks.
No, you want to give me the floor, though.
You can have the floor.
Okay. So, first off, Mike Nolan does deserve some blame because when he was with Atlanta, their defense was 24th, 26th, or 22nd, and 32nd.
But I'm not going to put all the blame on him.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying he does deserve some, though. That's one point. Second, now we're starting to see. I mean, Byron Jones, I think his impact was missed. Now we're seeing it. Jeff Heath, too. So, I mean, for all those guys that thought he was completely overrated, not looking too hot on that take right now. But you guys aren't giving any credit to this Browns team. I mean as a Brown, as
I'll
a
give
Browns
them credit. Fan, I'll give teams props when props are due. This was not
the Browns game. This was the best Browns game I think I have ever watched. Maybe the Jets game where Baker comes in, but like this one was so great. I mean, you know, we go up, right? And then Chubb gets hurt and I'm pissed. I'm throwing stuff. I'm mad as hell. I mean, that was a dirty play. And the guy, it was the same guy who injured Carson.
Tristan Hill.
That guy. That guy needs to get cut or fined or something. I mean, come on.
What? I believe he was a first-round pick. I believe he was a Cowboys first-round pick a couple years ago.
I can't even. I didn't even know his name, but I know he needs – someone's got to talk to him, bro, because he just kept one of my favorite players out for 6 weeks, and I'm very mad about that. But again, what I told the Browns to do, just run – the freaking ball.
Heard it here first. Huh? The Browns figured it out because Anish told them to run the ball. That's why the Browns won this week. It's because of Anish.
No, you know what happened? No, against the Bengals, I literally was like, I was telling, because my dad and I were watching, I was like, all right, we better run it on this play. And that was the play Baker threw a pick. And I was just like, what? So just run it. Literally. I mean, this team as a running football team, I'm so happy with what this is. I mean, here's the thing though. When we were up, I wasn't satisfied. I think the Browns didn't play up to par when they got up. They really let it go 41-14. And as they started coming back, I was convinced we were going to blow that lead. But Odell Beckham Jr.
This is exactly,
my God. That
is exactly what Browns fans have wanted since he first
that play.
This
and
is
here's, no, but here's the thing. He's finally healthy. And you know what's crazy? Here's the thing. He was having some back issues coming in, but like he's got no sports hernia. And I told you guys this. Sports hernia is one of the hardest injuries to play on. I said this coming into the year. Wow. Like that was incredible. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to talk about the Browns much, but yeah, the Cowboys defense needs to play better. Atrocious. They're 1-3. Huh?
It's atrocious.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but they still have a chance in this division. So one team's got to come out of it as much as we don't want it. And they've got a chance. I think it's between them and Philly. It's whoever can really step up. And I think, but with this Browns team, I'm not going to get too excited. I want to see more because it is the Browns. So, but 3-1 going into the quarter, I'm very happy with this team so far. I really didn't expect to start like this. This is Baker, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. This is what I wanted. I mean, hats off to this team, dude. I'm so happy.
I mean, all Baker needs is the team to run the ball well, and he has to make a couple throws.
Exactly.
A game.
He just makes a couple plays.
That's yeah. It's simple as that.
Off play action, that's all I need. I don't look, Baker's on pace for like literally 2,900 yards. I really couldn't care less.
That's all they need him to do, yeah.
I couldn't care less. 2,900 yards, 24 touchdowns, and like 10 pick. I couldn't care less. I don't care. As long as Odell's getting his numbers, and the thing is Odell is only asked to make big plays. Like, he's not asked to be this consistent go-getter, 10 catches type of guy. Even in New York, he wasn't really that type of dude. He would get a lot of receptions, but, like, if you look at his stats, they were, you know, maybe 70 to 80 catches a year. I expect Jarvis Landry's become one of the best third-down receivers I've seen in a while. I mean, this dude on third down is one of the most reliable targets. But, yeah, this Browns team's looking good. Cowboys defense is looking bad. I'll kind of switch it over if you guys are okay with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming into week 3, I believe the NFL really handled this COVID situation amazingly. And I think all of us were, you know, astonished by how it was. But of course, you know, we did expect this to hit, and it all started with AJ Terrell. But, you know, we just brushed it off. We said, okay, it's one case. And then the Titans have what is considered an outbreak. I think there's a difference between, you know, minor cases and an outbreak. That is something that'd be very concerning. Today was the first time that they had no COVID tests, I believe, or, yesterday, no COVID test positive, so that's a good sign. But again, for the last week, every single day, there were more and more tests from Tennessee. So, you know, that hub, at least, keep them there, keep them quarantined, don't let it spread. We obviously saw a little bit of some other mishaps, right, with Cam Newton. I just think that because it was him, and also at the timing of it, Saturday, right, that type of thing, I think that's why it caused a little bit of, you know, some discrepancy, discombobulation. But yeah, this is something that's going to happen. Maybe they have an extra week. Maybe I'll give you guys the floor. I just think this will happen. We will see this. The season is obviously going to have a lot of wild cards in it. We're going to see some teams make it that we're like, you know, should they have, right? We're going to see some teams that got, you know, basically like destroyed. And we're going to be like, oh, this team could have done really well this year. So these things are going to happen. I'm just going to say, you know, let's hope for the best. I just think the NFL will have to continue on for the sake of their revenue purposes. But I'll give you guys the floor. I just think this is something that's inevitable, but let's just fight it.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think this early in the season, like a situation like Tennessee, Pittsburgh, a situation like New England, Kansas City, that could be fixed pretty easily. But as you get deeper into the season, as you get to, like, say, week 14 and something like this happens and you got to reschedule, I think at some point you're going to have to add a week 18. It may sound like really, really far-fetched. But honestly, what else could you do? What else could you do? Because you're not gonna cancel the game outright. It's just not gonna look right record wise. You got to add a week 18. Now, it's a complicated issue. But you know, every single coach said this offseason, and that was it's whichever team adapts the best to this pandemic, to this virus, will win. It's
most disciplined, honestly, too. Like, you know, Cam's first week, he comes in no mask. Right, he wasn't playing safe with COVID guidelines, and I mean, could have been then where he contracted it, and you know, maybe the symptoms just expanded in the. I don't know the full details of the virus and how it works, but could have been then, right?
And you look at the Raiders too. I mean, the Raiders have had tons of fines. I mean, first of all, John Gruden, I believe, got fined for not wearing a mask. Then they had not allowed personnel in the locker room after a game.
Personnel,
And then Darren Waller's charity event where a lot of the players, including Derek Carr, show up with no masks. It's like, look, it's there. You can prevent it. There's ways to prevent it. We knew this was kind of inevitable. We knew it would happen.
Well, not prevent, but significantly reduce.
Yes, at least, you know, play it safe. We knew this was inevitable, but I mean, after week three with really nothing happening, we were kind of starting to feel like that we were all fine. I mean, it was crazy when zero tests out of like 17,000 or something had come back positive.
7,000.
And we were all very impressed. But now you're seeing the NFL has a problem. They're going to fix it, hopefully. I mean, it's not going to get canceled this early on. The MLB, there was a huge breakout with the Marlins. Everyone said, oh, the MLB season's doomed. They're in the middle of the playoffs right now. So hold your horses. It's not going to get canceled yet. But NFL has a problem they need to fix, and hopefully they'll be able to.
Yeah, that's what's
missing. And also another thing with, you know, with the MLB and the NFL, though, For the NFL, each game has a huge weightage. With the MLB, right, don't they do like doubleheaders in a day also sometimes? Yeah,
and they have 60 games this year compared to, you know, 16.
There's just more flexibility with the MLB compared to the NFL.
Yep.
That's why I was thinking they should add an extra week if it gets to the
point. If they need it, yeah. And because you're going to see teams, I mean, right now I think the Chiefs are slotted to play, including today's game, we're recording this on Monday, three games in 10 days, mm-hmm. I think. That's not going to fly, especially if this happens consistently to different teams.
Well, here's the thing, though. It has happened in the past, though. Like, statistically, we have seen two teams have to play 3 games in 10 days. So I don't really know if they flex it.
But it can't be consistent over a season. You cannot do this, like,
it can't, four but it, or it five is, teams throughout a season. It has happened before due to circumstance. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kept it like this. And I granted, it isn't the Chiefs' fault, but scheduling-wise, we have seen this before. The Raiders did it a long time ago. It was, like, 10 years back. But, so we've seen this before. That's why I don't know, but yeah, it is kind of, it does suck that the Chiefs did have to suffer for something that they weren't really responsible for.
Yeah, it's a bit unfair, but really that's just the reality of the NFL and what's going on.
Like Steelers too, I think they were, while I was under the impression, I was like, oh my God, they literally got extra time to prepare for the Titans. At the time, right, I said that, I was like, oh my God, these lucky guys. But now, right, their momentum of 3-0 got basically flustered, and they had to take their bye week now.
Yep, mm-hmm. And the Titans in this game, we're not going to have A.J. Brown. They weren't going to have Dory Jackson at corner. And they're going to get all these guys back. I mean, now they've got, what is it? They're playing week 7 or something like that?
I think so, yep. So
they've got weeks to get all these guys back. It's a little bit unfair, but, you know.
It makes me happy.
Yeah, I know. But it's a little bit unfair, but, you know, it's going to happen. And this is why we're a little bit skeptical to do record predictions because, I mean, look, a starting QB for a top team just got injured. Or not injured, but taken out for the game. And we don't know how many weeks he's going to miss. He could miss next week, too. We don't know what the symptoms will be like. Yeah. So
I give it a 2% chance he has to clear 2 tests.
Yep.
So.
And we don't know if he's going to be able to come back 100%, let alone an entire team getting it, too, that we thought would make the playoffs. So it's like it's going to be difficult to handle. But, look, the NFL, they're not dumb. They're going to be able to fix this, hopefully. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the takeaway. They've got a problem, but hopefully they can handle it.
You guys ready to move on?
Let's do it. The Bills, man, the Bills, 4-0 for the first time in 12 years. You beat the Raiders 30-23, I think was the final score. Man, Josh Allen continues to dominate. He's throwing his name in that MVP discussion. I know Anisha's happy to hear that. Stephon Diggs, he's continuing to dominate. Look, Bills fans, if you're watching this, you got to feel great, man. The record is perfect, but look, more importantly, long term, you guys are looking set, man. Josh Allen has improved so much. Credit to the coaching staff, too. Brian Daboll, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Sean McDermott's doing a tremendous job with this team. I think it's arguable whether the Bills are really the biggest threat to Kansas City because, as we saw, Baltimore couldn't do it. Baltimore couldn't do it. And we got
Really? I thought they were the number one team in the power rankings.
Oh, I guess not. I guess not, but... that changed after my homeboy cooked up the Ravens. But look, Thursday night football, Bills, Chiefs. If they don't flex that, the Chiefs are going to be exhausted. So, of course, there's going to be a little wrinkle in there if the Bills somehow do win. But look, I think these guys are the biggest challengers to the Chiefs right now, especially after week 3. So I think even the Steelers could have a potential argument because Big Ben is playing some great football. They have the league's most complete defense, I'd say. So I think Buffalo's right up there. I'd say maybe Steelers right behind them because the Ravens have already proved they couldn't do it. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this.
I want Jack to go first on on Mr. Joshua Allen.
No. Who said all offseason the Bills were in a tier of their own compared to every team except for Kansas City and Baltimore?
Didn't you say Sam Darnold was better than Josh Allen?
I said he had a better first 2 years. Which is still objectively true. Also, who said Stephon Diggs would be amazing when he got to Buffalo and make his first Pro Bowl? Who said that Buffalo was the best coach, one of the best coach teams in the NFL? No. Who had
Sean
Buffalo,
McDermott? Yeah.
Who said
I've always said Sean McDermott is the most underrated coach in the
NFL. Yeah, what we all did. This isn't obvious. The only thing I want to hear from you is because everyone knew the Bills were gonna do good. Everyone had this team going 11-5. I had them in the same tier as you did. We both agreed on it. I want to hear you on Josh Allen because you said he was carried by his defense last year. You said he wasn't a true winner. I want to hear your thoughts on Josh Allen. That's all I want to hear.
Did I once say he couldn't be? Did I once say he couldn't be? In his first 2 years, he was carried by his defense, and he wasn't a true winner on his own. He was extremely raw and had a ton of potential, which I've made very explicit. He has tons of potential.
Okay.
I never once said he couldn't be good, but his first 2 years in the NFL, especially
has he now proved
yes.
that he is better than Sam
also,
Darnold?
But also, it's improvement.
Has he proved he's better than
yes,
Sam
Yes, he
Darnold?
Has. He's proved Thank he's you. Better than a lot of quarterbacks in this league.
Yes.
Right now, he's playing like, what, the fourth best quarterback? Third best quarterback?
I'm not gonna put my bias in. He's played very good.
But also his first 2 years objectively were not very good. He was able to run the ball well, but he had a lot of problems, and he's fixed those. He's fixed those. It's a complete change in his game with his footwork. I watched a great film room on it. His footwork has improved, which made him a better quarterback. His first 2 years were not that good. I will stand by that. He was carried by his defense, and that defense is still there. One of the reasons I was the highest here on Buffalo.
No,
I was easily the highest.
We were both high on him too.
I had them with the best record. I was the one that said they were guaranteed winning this. I think I had them 12-4. I'm going 12-4. I said they were guaranteed winning this division. I said they were guaranteed winning this division.
Yeah,
I was crazy.
I'll give you that.
Look, I've been high on Buffalo, so I'm not surprised to see them right here.
Yeah. Well, Jack has not been high on Josh Allen, and he was saying that Darnold was going to surpass him this year.
I did not say that.
Josh Allen has proven Josh Allen has proven Anish right again. And here's the thing. Carson Wentz has not made me look good. Josh Allen's kind of salvaging it. Second favorite quarterback, and I love this man. I mean, the dude is great. I told you, he has intangibles. That's what I was basing my whole thing off of. And I, you know what, you say he's not good. If he wins games, he's good in my book. And what I saw from him in the playoff game, people looked at the stuff where he blew the 16-0 lead, and people thought, okay, he's not, you know, he's inaccurate deep. I saw something in that game, and the thing I actually saw was the lateral. The fact that he's willing to risk everything to make a play, that's what spoke to me. When I look at a quarterback, there are plenty of opportunities for you to develop in this league, especially on your rookie deal. Most quarterbacks take 3 to 4 years. We're seeing all this Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes stuff. Most quarterbacks take 3 to 4 years. It took Peyton Manning 3 to 4 years to become a true superstar in this game. It took Tom Brady 3 to 4 years to become a true superstar in this game. It took Drew Brees, same thing. It takes quarterbacks time. We're seeing it here. I mean, not every quarterback is expected to do this, right? Patrick Mahomes was not the number one overall pick. So no one expect, like when you're the number one overall pick, people expect a steady progression up. Not same thing with two guys who were not picked high, literally just came in and did something insane. With Mitch Trubisky, people expected a steady progression. And there was an article out there. My friend Luke, I saw it on his TikTok. It was Mitch Trubisky, as he was going projected up, people thought he was, you know, steadily increasing, right? 2018 was the second year and he makes the Pro Bowl. People thought he was on a pathway to become the best quarterback in the NFC North. And you know what? That was a terrible take. Obviously, it's been proven wrong. But most quarterbacks do that, pick that high, right? So when Josh Allen comes in at, like, I believe it was the 7th or 8th pick, people expected this type of stuff. Or people were falling off the train when they were like, oh my God, he's inaccurate. He can't build off of this. You know, he's objectively worse than other guys because he's inaccurate as a passer. For one, I would argue he's the second best running quarterback in the league. I could really argue that. And I don't think you guys would, you know, necessarily disagree with him. Maybe Kyler, but I think it's close. I think it's close. In the goal line, I would take Josh Allen over most quarterbacks.
Yeah,
so,
but at the goal line, I'd also take Newton over Allen.
I'd take him.
Yeah. So, but I would argue top three, right?
Yeah.
You give me that?
Okay. Yeah,
so, and I thought he was top three coming in with the 9 touchdowns. Like, he had 17 his first 2 years. That's very good. So that was my thing with Josh Allen. It's been looking good so far. A lot of people were agreeing with me outside of you two. A lot of people were agreeing with me. I just thought that steady progression would keep up. And Stephon Diggs, this was what he needed. Like I said, he had the most drop passes of anyone in 2019. As I said, for Josh Allen, and look at what's going on. I'm so glad that this is happening to Josh Allen. I'm so glad that people are finally recognizing it. And this Bills team, I'm excited. I'm really happy. I think this team can play spoiler. And I would not be shocked if this team even makes the Super Bowl. I will say it here. I'm not shocked. And I would not be shocked if this man is holding an MVP trophy in, what would it be, February? Yeah.
Yeah. But you also can't deny this isn't the same steady progression from Allen. He did something this offseason to
– No, I would argue it is steady. Because his first year, he goes 6-10, very raw, a lot of turnovers.
No, not just based on that. Not just based on that, but play-wise. I mean, he did something this offseason
to spark the change. Well, I saw flashes last year. I watched a lot of Bills games, and I saw flashes. No,
there's potential, yes. There's always been potential.
I agree. He took a bigger leap than most his third year. I agree because third or fourth year is where quarterbacks take that big jump.
But I'm just saying it wasn't organic. This was brought on by a change that he made or his coaches made. It's not like this is the same Allen we saw that just it's another year for him.
I just think he got more confident in his arm. Truth be told,
I think he got more confident in his feet.
You get a guy like Stephon Diggs, right? You're going to feel more confident throwing the ball downfield. John Brown is not a big target. He's not a strong guy. He's a quick, elusive dude that can take, jet sweeps 30 yards. Cole Beasley is a possession threat that literally on 3rd and 6 get you a first down. That's what Measley Beasley, that's another street guard knows what I'm talking about, Measley Beasley. But yeah, 3rd and 6, he's a guy who can get you 8 yards. That's what he was there. And those were their leading receivers at the time, okay? And I was telling you, wait till he gets a guy. And he's looked really good. I think this Bills team has got a lot to show. And right now I wouldn't be shocked if they were representing the AFC in 2021. But let's kind of move on. I think we talked enough about Josh Allen. I know Jack is not the biggest fan of him, so he would like to move on as well.
I just said first 2 years weren't that good.
No, we're moving on. We're going to go to another quarterback that people were skeptical of, Thomas Patrick Edward Brady or whatever. Tom Brady, right? He's still got it. 5 touchdowns, 1 pick. Comes back 24/7.
33 years old, man.
Yeah, and who didn't watch that game, that was one of the best games I saw in a while.
That was a great game.
I mean, we're not going to talk about it that much. I'll let these guys talk about more about Brady, but I just wanted to talk about Justin Herbert, that dude. I mean, Jack will obviously say, I called it Justin Herbert, so I'll give him his credit there. But, yeah,
I'm just imitating you.
Yeah. So Justin Herbert's done really well. Jack actually sent me a video on it, so I'll give him credit for that. I think he's got a lot to learn, but yeah, with Tom Brady and this Bucs team, 3-1, this Bucs defense is arguably a top 5 unit in the league. This is a team that, people have got to be scared of for the NFC.
Yeah, I think when you talk about what Brady did that game, I think it's even more impressive when you consider the fact the injuries on the Bucs offense. O.J. Howard had to leave early. Mike Evans, he had an ankle injury during the game. He was in the game, but he was basically at half speed. And then you didn't have Chris Godwin for the whole game. So I think when you consider what Brady did at 43 years old with really he had missing weapons, yet he still had a – he had Mike Evans, but look.
And a very good old line. I mean, that pass protection.
But still, it makes it even more impressive to me. And I think for the Chargers with Justin Herbert, he's a stud, man. He's really looking good. 290 yards, 20 of 25 passing, 3 touchdowns. He threw an interception, but I mean – really, really, to get a good read on Herbert, you definitely have to look past the stats. You actually got to watch the game because he's looking really good. I think when we saw him come in against the Chiefs last minute, this guy, he was not fazed. He kept up with Patrick Mahomes. They ultimately could have won that game, maybe, if Mahomes didn't get ball first. I think Mahomes got ball first. But look, Chargers, they're 1-3, I believe. And you go into New Orleans, you play the Saints on Monday night. This is going to be a great opportunity for Herbert to show on national TV that this guy's the real deal. He is the future of the Los Angeles Chargers. So, look, Herbert looks fantastic. Brady showed he can still dominate. And those are 2 takeaways I took from that game.
Yeah, I mean, Brady proves he still has it. I mean, 5 touchdowns. We said that he had a chance at least, leading the league in touchdowns just because what he had and how much we thought they'd throw the ball. But, look, people overreacted, I think, to the first couple of weeks. We said this Bucs team is a team that's going to take a couple of weeks to get it going. They're going to have to figure things out. Really a new team that they're going to have to figure out, especially with a no preseason. It's going to be hard to get acclimated. But they've shown they can come back in a game. They've shown that they can win games. But to touch on Herbert, too, he's gone toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. I mean, the greatest of all time,
in the last 10 years.
The greatest of all time and the greatest player right now. And he's gone toe-to-toe with them. And it might not be reflected in the stats completely. They are good, but he's played amazing. And to quote Anthony Lynn, apparently that's why he's a backup, or he's a backup for a reason. Like, look at the way he's been playing. You cannot start Tyrod Taylor over this guy. And I was high on him. I'm glad he's doing well, but I need to see him continue to do it. And I need to see him be consistent with it. And I need to see him start winning some of these games, because yes, you can go toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes. You can go toe to toe with Tom Brady. Let's see him take the next step. I want to see that happen this year, but look, I'm glad to see Herbert's playing well, but the story is Brady, 5 touchdowns, he's back. And he really never left. People were a little bit overreacting to their first couple weeks.
And it should be noted that just like in New England, Brady could still spread the ball around. You saw Scotty Miller.
Yeah, 5 different receivers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, not much to say after that. I think just Justin Herbert looking good, Brady's looking good, this Bucs team.
I'm excited for Monday night, man, against the Saints, against Drew Brees. That's going to be a great test for – another great test for Justin Herbert. So yeah. I can't wait for that. But let's move on here. And this is breaking news coming just today. Bill O'Brien has finally been fired. As head coach and GM, Romeo Crennel is going to step into that interim head coach role. If I was to give my 2 cents on it, I think I was going to say before the episode too, but like I was always against Bill O'Brien as a GM, but as a head coach, you know, I kind of respected him because he was consistent and he would consistently get his team into the playoffs. I think his record was 52-48. I looked it up somewhere, but I can't, you might have to fact check me basically, but really early on, the quarterback play was just awful. And he's had Deshaun Watson for the past 4 seasons. I think he's been the head coach of the Texans since 2014. And he has 1 playoff win to his credit. So, It's somewhat good.
I think it's 2. Is he won against Connor Cook.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You're right. So he has 2 playoff wins. But I think this was pretty much the last straw. You lose to the Vikings, who have looked downright terrible this whole year. And he was basically signed through 2022. So I think at some point, the McNairs had to cut ties with him. And I think this was the... It's a little bit too late because the damage has already been done with the Hopkins trade, but O'Brien is gone.
Jack, yeah, I can round it up.
So, look, O'Brien should have been gone. I feel like after last offseason, he could have easily been gone. The previous offseason, he was a terrible GM. He was also a poor coach. I know, Shrigar, you were high on – or you thought he wasn't, you know, the worst coach, but
yeah,
look, he wasn't great. His play calling was never amazing, and it proved in the Minnesota game. Or so I've heard, that they should have won that game. They still had chances to win that game too. Why were they running the ball so much with David Johnson? Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But look, I'm shocked he got fired right now. I'm shocked he got fired after week 4. There was really, even they were 0-3, there wasn't a whole lot of talk about him being fired. And here it is. But look, the Texans are not in a good spot. First of all, they just fired their coach after week 4. They already don't have their first and second round picks for this year. They do have a second from the Cardinals, but who knows? I mean, is that a second half of the second round? And they have the highest payroll of any team in the NFL. Look, they've got Watson. How many young pieces do they really have? Tunsil's there, but he hasn't completely lived up to the trade. J.J. Watt's getting old. Whitney Mercer is really old.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot in the secondary. Justin Reed is a bright spot, but is he like a huge young cornerstone piece? And they don't have a ton of picks, and they have not a ton of salary cap. Look, they're screwed. And I said this earlier today in our chat. I think that Deshaun Watson's situation could become eerily similar to Matthew Stafford's.
And keynote, his situation. We're not comparing the two quarterbacks.
I think Deshaun Watson has more talent, and I think he's a better quarterback than Stafford was at this point in his career. But look, Stafford has been an underrated quarterback and a good quarterback for a lot of his career with a ton of potential, a high draft pick, just perennially stuck on a terrible team and a terrible franchise in Detroit with a rotating carousel of head coaches.
Just a horribly run organization, basically.
And look, that could be the Texans. Like we said, the Texans are kind of screwed. They don't have a coach right now. They're going to have to hit on their coach. And look, Watson could be that. And also to bring in the fact that Stafford really hasn't been able to do a ton since Calvin Johnson retired. And, you know, D-Hop was Watson's Calvin Johnson. Look, the situation is eerily similar. Deshaun Watson could be stuck on a poor Texans team for years to come. And he just signed that big extension, which means it's going to be really hard to get him out of there.
Give me the floor. finish it out, kind of.
I mean, like, how do you disagree with this?
The situation. No. So here's what I'll say. First off, I wanted to touch on Bill O'Brien to kind of round the segment out. Look, I think the problem was, and I was agreeing with Shrikar too, I thought he was a terrible GM, but head coach, I thought he was okay. And here's the thing. The playoff loss and the Hopkins trade just derailed his confidence. Coaches are very important too. They're judged by winning. Bill O'Brien won the division the last 2 years. Bill O'Brien was a pretty good coach. And in 2017, I'm convinced he helped Deshaun Watson get to this, like, he was playing amazing before he tore his ACL. So he's had his bright spots. And the problem is, as coaches, you do lose confidence. Think about it. When you trade DeAndre Hopkins and you go back into that locker room, the players aren't going to look at you the same way. When you blow a 24-0 lead and you call a fake punt on your own 32 or something like that, you are going to lose confidence and you're going to lose the locker room. I'm convinced he lost it. And I think that's why he got fired. I don't think people are talking about that part enough. I think he lost confidence in his coaching ability. He lost confidence in the team. The team lost confidence in him. That, as a result, dysfunction, 0-4, that is a clear reason. This game was easily winnable. I'm still mad that Will Fuller dropped that pass fourth and goal. I thought Deshaun Watson threw a perfect dime. I feel so bad for him. He is just such a talented quarterback. But, yeah, that's my take on Bill O'Brien. I think if he doesn't do the Hopkins trade, right, that's why they were leaning so much on Johnson, because they traded for him, right? So you're gonna want to show as a GM that, okay, I made this trade. That's why. And he had a pretty good first game, but after that, I mean, you know, he's been there, right? Like, not bad, not good. So, you know, I think the firing was justified. It's the trade. I think that was just a spiral down effect. You just lose confidence in yourself. But back to the Watson Stafford thing. Here's what I'll say. First off, Watson has a playoff win. Stafford doesn't. That's all I wanted to say.
Look, it's purely situation based.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you bring up this stuff, yes, it does sound similar. My thing is this: I have never regarded Stafford as a borderline top five quarterback. I don't think I ever have. Even in 2011 when he went insane, that one, I don't think I ever have. And in the playoffs, he's been pretty disappointing. In the playoffs for Deshaun Watson, we've seen really good plays. That play, that run around, right? That's, I don't know who he threw it through to. I think it was Duke Johnson. I can't remember.
Situation.
Huh?
But that's kind of comparing the
quarterback. So, okay. Well, the situation does include the quarterback that's under center, right? So I'm going to talk about Deshaun Watson. So Deshaun Watson is a guy that I trust. I watched him in college a lot. As much as I hate Clemson, I mean, you got to give your hat of props to that dude, right? So, yes, I will agree. There's been some similarities. But Stafford, I thought Jim Caldwell was a good coach. And I'm really shocked that they fired him after going 9-7. And I think Deshaun Watson, if anyone can do it, he's one of maybe five or six quarterbacks that can overcome this type of thing. Here's what I'll say. I think for the next 3 years, the Texans are very screwed. They've got to hit on their draft picks. They've got to develop their players. But if they can... I'm not willing to say Deshaun Watson is in a Stafford situation yet. I'm not willing to. I concede your points. I see what you're saying. I'm just banking it off the talent of a quarterback. And like, you guys know how much I talk about quarterbacks in general. I think I'm like the QB analyst here out of us three. I love to talk about them. And I just think if anyone can do it, it's him. And let's see how it goes. But yeah, just from a talent perspective and overall standpoint, I just think Deshaun Watson has such a higher trajectory, and he's got a lot more time to fix what he has than Matthew Stafford did.
Yeah, I mean, that wraps up our week one takeaways. Let us know what you guys think of all the points we talked about.
Week four.
What did I say?
Week one.
Yeah, of course I did. But, you know, week four takeaways. Let us know what you guys thought of all of our takeaways, especially this last one. I want to hear what you guys think on this, you know, this most recent Stafford versus Watson talk. I really want to see what you guys think about that. But we had an Instagram giveaway. We said we would shout out all of our winners. This is a couple of weeks ago. If you're not following us on Instagram, go follow us there. It'll be in our description. But here are our winners. Here are Instagram and Twitters. Make sure to go follow them. Tell them Cold Hearts.
And again, follow ours too, by the way, down below.
Yep. And again, if you like this video, make sure to hit that like button and subscribe. We've got more content coming for you guys.
Yeah, that's the best way to show your support. Let us know you guys like these kind of videos. And we'll take any kind of criticism or comments in the comments section. Let us know what you guys think and how we can improve, because we just want to make some good content for you guys. But thank you guys so much. Subscribe if you liked what you saw, and we'll see you next time.